Sponsorship of this KQED podcast is provided by UC Santa Cruz, chosen by the National Cancer Institute to launch the Cancer Genomics Hub in the quest to decode cancer. More information available at ucsc.edu.
Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. A billion-dollar gambling binge has brought down Maureen O'Connor, the first female mayor of San Diego. The 66-year-old told a court yesterday she burned through a fortune inherited from her late husband. The addiction took hold after she left office nearly a decade ago. O'Connor won enormous sums at casinos in California and beyond, but lost even more. And eventually, the IRS caught up with her. A San Francisco judge has dismissed Oakland's lawsuit challenging federal efforts to shut down the nation's largest medical marijuana dispensary. The city argued it has broad interests in ensuring Harborside Health Center remains open, claiming its closure might compel more than 100,000 patients to turn to the illegal market. Oakland city attorney says she may appeal. Federal prosecutors declined to comment. Proposition 8 banned same-sex couples in California from marrying and touched off a legal battle that goes before the U.S. Supreme Court next month. It also stirred up soul-searching in the Mormon Church, one of Prop 8's big financial backers. Some members are questioning long-held beliefs about homosexuality. The California Report's Los Angeles Bureau Chief Stephen Cuevas has more in the first of two stories for our series, A Church Divided.
Mormon Sunday school teacher Matt Riley used the soft sell approach when working the phones during the Yes on Prop 8 campaign.
I would say Proposition 8 is about same-sex marriage, and we encourage you to vote however you feel you should vote.
Instructions from the highest-ranking officials within the Church of Latter-day Saints were clear. Avoid arguments with voters. That was easy for Riley, a straight, married father of two who lives in the Temecula Valley near San Diego. He was ambivalent about the church's involvement in the campaign from the get-go. But like other Mormons, he found justification in church doctrine and in leaders like 88-year-old Boyd Packer, one of the highest-ranking officials of the LDS Church.
Some suppose that they were preset and cannot overcome what they feel are inborn tendencies toward the impure and the unnatural. Not so. Why would our Heavenly Father do that to anyone?
In a controversial sermon in Salt Lake City shortly after Prop 8's passage, Packer likened homosexuality to an addiction that can be overcome through prayer and self-control. Those kinds of comments and the Mormons' well-organized, multi-million-dollar campaign to pass Prop 8 triggered a storm of public outcry.
There were a lot of protests outside the temple in Los Angeles, which is a major landmark. I know someone personally whose house was vandalized because this person had multiple Prop 8 signs on their lawn. And there was a feeling of martyrdom. No question.
Matt Riley says Mormons felt misunderstood and under siege. It spurred some to double down on their anti-gay marriage stance. Others, like Riley, began to have a change of heart. Riley says he now regrets his work to help pass Prop 8.
I know that there are situations where families are torn apart, where parents are disowning their children over this issue. And that is wholly contrary to what we try to achieve in true Christianity.
Marriage between a man and a woman is at the very core of the Mormon faith. Mormons believe one's marriage and the family that springs from it will live for eternity in the kingdom of heaven.
Very good. You have to
I'll show something.
What are you going to show me?
Mine says Spike.
Shelly Milne and her husband are raising six kids in the town of Hemet, about 70 miles east of Anaheim. The local councilwoman and devout Mormon accepts gay people. She doesn't, for example, believe that homosexuality is a choice, but she's opposed to gay marriage.
Once you bring it in and try to force your belief, which is homosexuality, into that church, I have a problem with it. If you want to live how you want to live, then you have to let these other people live how they want to live. I see it as a fundamental right being taken away from those churches.
That kind of thinking is in line with many mainstream church leaders. But other leaders who once held similar views are reversing course.
I'm sorry. Deeply, deeply sorry. I began to see the emotional wounds.
Just over a year ago, Kevin Klusterman, a Mormon bishop from Illinois, publicly renounced his opposition at an annual conference for gay Mormons in Salt Lake City.
And I know that we truly are straight, gay, lesbian, transgender, our Heavenly Father's children.
Since the passage of Prop 8, the church has made attempts to explain and refine its policy towards homosexuality and gay marriage. It launched a website, MormonsandGay.org, that encourages church members to embrace their gay brothers and sisters. But it also says that acceptance should not be confused with endorsement of homosexuality. In other words, as LDS leader Boyd Packer suggested, it's something that can and should be overcome.
People will use that website as evidence that the church is progressing. And out of fairness, I have to say yes, it's a baby step forward.
Ben Jarvis lives in Newhall, a small town north of Los Angeles. He's openly gay and Mormon, though he no longer attends services. He stays connected to the Mormon community through his years of work with Affirmation, an international support group for gay Mormons with headquarters in Southern California. Jarvis remains a harsh critic of the church's position on gay issues, but says the church is capable of real change.
I lived through the 1978 revelation when African Americans were welcomed in full fellowship. As more and more people accept gays and lesbians as just regular human beings, again, which we are, I think that there will be voices within the church that will then ask even more unsettling questions.
At the Mormons and Gay website, one church leader calls the Book of Mormon a gospel of change. All Mormons, he says, should aspire to transform things about themselves. Taken one way, that could mean changing one's sexual preference. But to Mormons like Matt Riley, it means changing long-held beliefs about homosexuality. Riley says he could be wrong. But if he is, he wonders how the conversation might go when it's time to meet his maker.
You know, Matt, you were too accepting of people. I think that I would say you really threw me off there, God, with the love thy neighbor stuff and the Christian ethic. And you kind of threw me off there. So that's me pleading my case.
But can you be openly gay and a practicing Mormon? A college kid I met believes you can. But the journey won't be easy. Just as he was coming out, his parents were planting Prop 8 signs on the front lawn. That story on Monday. For the California Report, I'm Stephen Cuevas.
Mormons are not the only Christian denomination struggling over rights for gays and lesbians. To learn about the debate within the United Methodists, look for the link to A Church Divided online at californiareport.org. And that's the California Report for Friday, February 15th, the production of KQED Public Radio. Our team includes Danny Bringer, Jim Bennett, Howard Gelman, Seal Muller, Sarah Vaughn, Paul Lancour, Nina Thorson, Lisa Pickoff-White, David Marks, Dan Brecky, Kat Snow, Pat Flynn, Erica Kelly, Gina Shalaba, and Guy Maserati. Victoria Malione is our associate senior producer. The senior producer is Ingrid Becker. The executive producer is Raul Ramirez. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the Wesley Foundation, improving the lives of California's children, and URS, a global engineering and construction firm headquartered in San Francisco, providing engineering, construction, and technical support to public agencies and private companies. URS.com.